Friday morning, just as I was looking for a good story to begin this homily, I got an email from one of the mothers of her son who plays for Carroll Patriot football team. And she said, "We need a Patriot win against the CJ Eagles tonight." She said, "Please say a prayer." I replied to her, I said, "For your son, I will pray for the Patriots, but for Father Bob Jones, I'll pray for the Eagles." See, either way, I want to be able to say God heard my prayer. Another example, just right now, I just checked the scores. India and Pakistan are playing a very crucial cricket match for the Asia Cup. And when it comes to rivalry, there's nothing between a cricket match between India and Pakistan. Now, Jesus is on India's side. I mean, how can he not? Folks, these are very naive, harmless examples, right? However, apply the same rivalry to a job situation at work. Say two people vying for a promotion. Apply the same rivalry to the sharing of inheritance between siblings that have a history of sibling rivalry. Apply this to race relations. Apply this to international politics these days. Apply it to the upcoming elections. And suddenly we have the perfect recipe for serious conflict and war. Over the last 3 weeks, I have been focusing on the letter to James, the letter from James. And so I'm continuing with that trend because there is a certain flow to his thought here. Now today, he talks about conflicts and war. And the question he asks is, where do conflicts and war come from? And then he creates what I'm calling the cycle of envy, right? And this is what it looks like, the way he writes it, because if you read it in a paragraph, it's hard to follow. So I put it down for myself, and then I thought I'm going to share it with you guys. So where do conflicts and war come from? He says, from passions and envy. He talks about envy and jealousy in today's reading. He says, you covet, but you do not possess. You wage war, but do not obtain. Why? Because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive, because you ask wrongly. And why is it wrong? Because after getting what you ask for, you want to spend it on your passions, which of course then leads to the cycle of conflict and war. And so this is James's cycle of envy. So here are three insights from James's letter today, which might be very helpful for all of us in our own spiritual life, in our life of discipleship. Now, James reflects on conflicts from the perspective of jealousy and ambition and envy. Now, this connection between jealousy and envy and conflict, it's not something new that James created. This connection was found in the literature of his time in the other cultures. For him, wars and battles are the inevitable outcome of envy. Now, this is very typical of today's reading from the Book of Wisdom. There are a few wicked people, as the Book of Wisdom would say, and they simply want to destroy the righteous one. No reason except that this person is uncomfortable to them. This person comes in the way of their ambitions. So they said, let's kill him. So this cycle is very real. When somebody is uncomfortable for me, the best thing for me is to eliminate them. In the gospel reading, isn't envy the reason why the disciples asked the question, who is the greatest? Why did this question even arise? So James says, where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. And what is Jesus' antidote to envy? One sentence. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. When Jesus said this, he actually sat down and taught his disciples. You know what that means? He's assuming the position of a rabbi. This is real teaching on discipleship. If you want to be first, be last. Secondly, James was concerned about another phenomenon in his community, that envy had affected piety and religion. What does James say? He says, you ask, but you do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. See, today's gospel reading again connects this with what James is trying to say. When Jesus was talking about his ultimate self-sacrifice, about his death, what are the disciples concerned about? Who is the greatest? Listen, if that is what they wanted, they were following the wrong person. If they wanted to know how to be the greatest, Jesus was the wrong person to follow. In other words, even our religiosity, even our piety can sometimes be based on wrong motivations. I think it would be good for us to examine our own prayer life. Really, what is our motivation for prayer? Are any of our spiritual exercises motivated by selfish needs? Think about it this week. Why simply do I pray? Now, thirdly, James is reflecting on envy from the perspective of the Hellenistic society, the Greek society, where everything was in limited supply. Very different society than ours. People in those days used prayers in order to attain what they envied in others. In other words, here's the deal. So right now, India and Pakistan are playing. Anybody could win. But I so want God to take from Pakistan what might be theirs and give it to me. Right? We want God to take what might be theirs and give it to us. James is saying that Christians function from a very, very different perspective, from a very different dispensation. And the dispensation is that God bestows gifts freely and in abundance. Listen, there is enough for everybody. If we can just give up our envy, our jealousy, our ambition, our selfishness, who wants to be greatest, there is enough for everybody. God's gifts are free and abundant. We're all blessed. We might be blessed in different ways, but we're all blessed. And sometimes to be able to trust the abundance of God's graces, that is the hard thing to do. And James is saying you've got to function from a very different place than this world that functions within the dispensation of jealousy and ambition and envy. So here are my three practical implications for today. At the end of this reading, I said to myself, and I prayed, Dear Lord, save me from me. So my first practical implication for you is exactly that. Lord, save me from me. My second practical implication is, Lord, save me from me. And my third practical implication for today is, Lord, save me from me. People of God said. Since we have a baptism today, may we please